Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The final design plans for a gathering place for Tulsa, a large park along Riverside Drive, was announced last night. The property, which is located on the side of the Blair Mansion along Riverside Drive from 24th to 31st Street, will be the site of a new large park with a lodge, an adventure playground, a two-acre pond complete with boats, gardens, formal and informal, a skate park, two large 300-foot land bridges over Riverside Drive to connect the park with river parks, pedestrian and bike bridges over Riverside and 31st Street, and an expanded pedestrian bridge to the west bank of the river. Altogether, it's a $175 million-plus investment in public amenities by the George Kaiser Family Foundation. Park is designed by Michael Van Valkenburg, who has created award-winning landscape designs for the Allegheny Riverfront Park in Pittsburgh, the Brooklyn Bridge Park and Teardrop Parks in New York City, and the restoration of Harvard Yard in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm joined today by Jeff Stava, who is the Senior Program Officer for the George Kaiser Family Foundation and the Project Manager for A Gathering Place for Tulsa. He joins us today to talk about the plans and what they'll mean for the city. Jeff Stava, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
It was a big night last night with the unveiling of the final design plans for A Gathering Place for Tulsa, and this has been in the works for several years. Michael Van Valkenburg and his associates were here last spring taking lots of suggestions, and really it was an open-ended process for figuring out what to do with this wonderful piece of real estate right on the river.
Last night was phenomenal. You know, there were between 600 and 700 people there. We actually ended up having to do two presentations so that everyone could hear the ideas and see the model. It was an electric evening. I think a lot of Tulsans are super excited about what this can be for Tulsa. And it's great to be a part of that project. And the planning has been going, which what people don't know is that, you know, the foundation's been looking and acquiring property for 6 or 7 years. And so, you know, there's a lot of work that's been going on and planning work, trying to make sure that we had the right team assembled. You know, that process has been going on for 5 years, probably more intently within the last 3 years. But finding the right firm was so critical to the success of the project. And Michael Van Valkenburg and his associates, they listen to people. And they've done that with every project, whether it's been in St. Louis designing the St. Louis Arch Park, or down in Austin, or you know, working with the Bushes on the Presidential Library at SMU. They listen to their client. They listen to the public, the people that are going to use and interface with the park, to make sure that what they design works for the community. Every community is different. You know, every region of the country is different, places around the world. And I think that's what really sets them apart as a designer, because, you know, you can build a magnificent park and be super creative and use your ego to create it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work. And that was something that was very important to the foundation, was to make sure that it was a shared vision with the community. And we had 1,400 individual ideas that were used and woven into that park project. And I'll tell you, nothing made me more proud than talking to people last night who said, oh my gosh, I had that idea. They used that idea. And we did. I mean, there's a lot of that.
Now, being so closely involved with this, you probably had a vision of what this park was like before there were any design plans, because, you know, you're involved with assembling this property. Was there anything that surprised you about how this process turned out as far as what the designer came up with, some interesting ideas, and what the public came up with?
My father is a contractor here in town, and, you know, so I grew up in that industry, you know, mostly cleaning stuff and moving stuff around and that sort of thing. But I've adapted the eye that my father has for, you know, how things should look and how things should be. But I was blown away by the creativity, you know, through our process of selection of Michael Van Valkenburg. We had four firms that actually presented concepts to the foundation. And I was just blown away by the individual creativity. But Michael Van Valkenburg's team, the way they connected over Riverside Drive, to me, allows that roadway to remain the way it has been for Tulsa. they want to improve it and turn it into a parkway, you know, make it safer, slow it down a little bit, put a center median in with trees to beautify it. But they want to make it an expression of what River Parks is, you know, throughout that roadway instead of it being a roadway by itself. But the land bridges, how 300-foot land bridges can connect the Blair property and our project with River Parks and make it look so seamless is, to me, the simpleness of it is what makes it so extraordinary.
You know, when you think of a waterfront road, I think of Lakeshore Drive in Chicago, again, with a series of parks all along the lakeshore. But, you know, how they did it, you know, if you're on the other side of Lakeshore Drive and you want to get to the lake, in certain neighborhoods, it's a scary proposition because you have these very dark, dank tunnels. And I think one of the interesting things is the idea of no tunnels. We're going to build the park over the road. Now, that's more expensive, but I think that's a very wise decision because, you know, safety is a big issue. And just the fact that you're in the outdoors crossing this very busy roadway, and I assume it's still going to be a very busy roadway.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, most Tulsans use that roadway to from South Tulsa and Midtown to connect with downtown. And you know, if you remember the history of the last 20-plus years.
That was going to be an expressway.
It was going to be an expressway.
Lakeshore Drive,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so glad that we didn't do that. And I'm so glad that we had neighborhood leaders who really wanted that to remain a Tulsa-ized road, not a highway road. And I think that because of that leadership, you know, preventing that from happening, now we're actually going to have a parkway like all these great signature cities, such as Chicago and Cambridge, Massachusetts. Just almost anywhere there's a river or a lake, there is a lakeshore parkway drive that is beautiful and has center medians. And it is an extension of the park that is adjacent to it and the water. And I think that's going to be great for Tulsa.
Until we have a strong mass transit system in our city, this is still going to be a car city. And, of course, how you accommodate people wanting to come to this park, I think one of the most ingenious things is the way they handled parking, because you could have a large parking lot. That's the way a lot of people think. Big parking lot, you park, you walk over to it. This is like a little ribbon of parking along the very edge of the property, where you're able to, it looks like you'll be able to accommodate a lot of cars, but it won't be this big eyesore in the midst of the park.
It was pretty genius. We listened to the public. There was a lot of commentary about parking. And as you knew, Tulsans love parking, and they obsess with talking about parking. And I think our downtown has become overparked, honestly. We've lost our street edges. You know, and through the design process, we had groups that had parking structures behind buildings. We had groups that did underground parking, you know, so it was kind of like adjacent to the PAC type parking. And, you know, a lot of different unique ideas. I'm not saying any of them were bad, but as simple as throwing that ribbon of parking around the exterior in the back areas of the park and having kind of that circle drive, that's pretty smart. I mean, because, you know, it allows the park to be pushed forward towards the river. And it's sometimes the simplest ideas that are somewhat, I think, the most ingenious. But also, one other thing about parking I think is interesting is they have nodes of parking along Riverside Drive and up to the southern edge of the project, you know, 100 spaces. So total parking is 550-plus spots, more than enough. That's approximately 7-plus parking spaces per acre. So that's, you know, we will have adequate parking. We will never have enough parking. You know, I have to tell you, you know, when the trails were redone in River Parks, the capacity was made larger. And River Parks has seen a noticeable increase in the number of park users. But what has been accentuated is the lack of parking. And I think as we go forward, we're really going to have to be mindful, and our city leaders are thinking that way, about creating nodes of parking and gathering up and along the river, you know, all the entire stretch. You know, all we have, you know, Tulsa spreads all the way down to 131st. So we have a lot of riverfront to look at and to plan for and to be mindful of.
Now, that's an amenity of this new gathering space is the fact that, you know, you have these brand new bike and walking trails. They're going to have a nice little added loop, because that's one of the things that happens is there's a wonderful little overpass just for the bike users and the walkers to actually get from River Parks proper into this new space.
You know, the land bridges are just real brilliant. And the reformation of the pedestrian bridge, I think, is neat too, by taking existing segments and then widening them to 20 or so feet so that we can get the capacity into the park and reutilizing some of that historical structure over the roadway. There's just some really nice touches to kind of keep the integrity of kind of the historical nature and the look of what we currently have, but prepare and have a park for the future.
Well, let's talk about the amenities of Phase 1. And Phase 1 is basically from, what, 24th Place approximately to 31st Street on the east side of Riverside Drive and going all the way down to 33rd on the west side of Riverside Drive. Now, give us a sense of what the amenities. There's going to be a lodge.
There's going to be a lodge building. And as you drive into the driveway, that would be the first building that you'd see. That's kind of the welcome building. There's a large great room, community room in that building that'll be open during park hours. It'll, you know, be a place of relaxation in the cool weather. It'll be relaxation in the hot weather for people. It'll be, you know, wireless internet. It'll be a comfortable place to be. Could be a place to meet up.
Are you thinking, like a coffee bar of some sort that will be a part of it, and just sort of amenities, sort of like a national park lodge where you know it's like, you know, the big fans rotating and
that
sort of thing,
exactly,
sort of open air a little bit.
That's exactly what the lodge is supposed to be. Is it's stacked rock, floor to ceiling plate glass windows. You know, we're exploring the use of geothermal and LED lighting technologies. It will have food and beverage. It'll have, places for kids to get snacks and milk. It'll have places to get a park meal, maybe a healthy meal, maybe grab a glass of wine as the kids are playing in the adventure playground. Just a place to be and an approachable place for all Tulsans. And so it'll truly be a place that you can stop in kind of unexpectedly as you're out running errands with your kids, whether it's the dad on a Saturday or, mom during the weekday. They can just drop in, have the kids play, and have the food and things they need. It doesn't have to be pre-planned. An enormous playground. The play areas are divided in age groups, and it's educational. It's challenging physically. It will really help kids problem solve, have interactive play. It's not just a playground. So it's not just a jungle gym or just a swing set. There's a lot more thought. We're working with a noted childhood play expert from the University of North Carolina who's helping us make sure that those things work and help kids from all areas of town.
And the other thing I see is lots of landscaping as far as my first question when I saw all this landscaping, I said, well, if this is going to be city development, city can't keep up with the landscaping it has now. But as I understand it, George Kaiser Family Foundation is going to do all the maintenance and landscaping and upkeep for the park. Is that correct?
We're going to ensure that the landscaping, operations, maintenance, and programming is taken care of. And that's a really large commitment. But the kind of legacy project that we're building and the partners that we're bringing on, they want it to be maintained at a high level. And that's important. But there is a tremendous amount of landscaping, a lot of natural landscaping. One of the things that I'm really kind of excited about is, they've toured several nurseries in Oklahoma, several tree nurseries and plant and shrub nurseries. And they just built the landscape around the Bush, George Bush Presidential Library. So they've been in Texas and Oklahoma working on trees. So they have just a really utilizing native plants is important to them. But how they organize them and put them together for our gardens and for our play areas and around our buildings is quite exquisite. And I think Tulsans will be really excited and pleased.
Now, the adventure playground and the lodge is on the very east side of that big property, which is the Blair Mansion.
The Blair Mansion property.
It would probably be about where the house and where the stable is and all that area back that we just see from Riverside most of the time. Now, in front of that is going to be looks like a very significant pond.
It's a little over 2-acre pond. And what's really unique about it is, when you see a pond, usually they're round or square. This pond has a really unique, I can't even really explain the shape of it, but
amoeba-like.
It is very much like that. But what's interesting about it, and it's very carefully thought out by the architects, is that you can be in little areas of it and be by yourself. So it won't feel like you're on a pond with a lot of other people. You'll see other people, but there are moments where you could be by yourself. And I think that makes it especially attractive. And even when you're on the land around the pond, there are places you can go in those little peninsulas where you could be by yourself on the land too. So it's pretty exciting, just the thought that's gone into that layout of that waterway. And people love water. I mean, and that's one thing these architects, you know, and that's some great public input we had. A lot of people wanted water on the site. And so the pond's an important part.
Now, where do you get the water from?
That's a great question.
I understand there's a river right next door, but I think that's downhill, right?
It's right. The pond sits uphill. That's right. Swan Lake, which is up near 21st in Utica, actually has a creek that runs out of it and runs. It's a box culvert, which is very much like most of our stormwater movement through the city is underground. They have a box culvert that runs just north of the Blair site under the neighborhood just north. And we're evaluating diverting some of that box culvert over onto the site. And then we have a wetlands garden whereby we can take that water and pump it to the top into these small ponds. And then it runs through kind of a little, for the lack of a better word, maze to clean
filter.
The water.
It's a natural filtering. It's a wetland
filter.
Right.
And it filters it with plants and vegetation and then through osmosis then moves it through back through the dirt and then back into the pond. So it has – and there'll be two of those that continuously flow the water. The other thing, you know, because – We've had a drought in Oklahoma for a long time. We've also will be putting some water wells in to bring groundwater up and to replenish the pond that way as well.
Now, this is another question I had. How important is water in the river to this park's overall success? Do you think that's an important component?
I think that water in the river is an important component for Tulsa and for our region. Certainly is important for this project because we sit on the doorstep of it. But this park is going to be a place for people to be. You know, not everyone goes to the lake every weekend. Not everyone has a boat and can do that. So creating a place, an urban place, for people to be adjacent to an asset like the Arkansas River is critically important. River Parks has taken a leadership role in repairing the dam gates. And they'll be putting new seals on and refortifying the gate structures themselves in the coming 6 months. And that's going to be a good temporary fix. And that's going to help keep water in the river. And right now, if you go out there, it could be bone dry. In fact, the county's had machinery, you know, trying to clear some of the silt and the sand. But once that temporary fix is done, we'll have a pool of water there. But that's a short-term fix. You know, that's going to get us through the next 4 to 6 years. We really as a community need to look long-term at having these dams because they really are economic engines. I mean, if you look to other cities that are building concrete rivers, you know, basically man-made rivers, and you look at the developments that are around them, whether they're boathouses or hotels or restaurants, I mean, there's numerous cities and all of us have been to them. They're very touristy. But we have this asset that sits right there next to us. And for most of my life, and people have used the river as kind of an industrial area, or they've developed with their backs to the river. And it's time for us to turn those developments around and have the water be an asset for our community.
My guest today is Jeff Stava. He is the Senior Program Officer and Project Manager for A Gathering Place for Tulsa. The final design plan was released last night for a large park development by the George Kaiser Family Foundation on the area surrounding 31st and Riverside. It's, as I understand, one of the largest private developed public parks ever in the United States, which I think is a great thing. And we've seen the Guthrie Green, which was also developed by the George Kaiser Family Foundation, how that's helped change a neighborhood. And of course, there was also a lot of other developments and that the foundation was involved with that has helped transform that area. But you look at that little park and how that's done on a sort of microcosm scale. It has really helped develop a whole neighborhood. Is this the big picture park?
Well, you know, as we've looked at it, you know, a lot of people ask us the question, well, why was it Brady? Or, you know, why down at the Blair Mansion site? You know, when we looked at at Brady, we saw a warehouse district that was not being fully utilized to its fullest potential. Tulsa has an unbelievable arts community, and we wanted to leverage our strengths, which is arts and music, and you know, tremendous legacy, you know, with the Canes and the Old Lady on Brady, you know, which were great destinations, but people didn't stay in the neighborhood. And so with the foundation focusing on what we call peopleizing Brady, you know, putting in, you know, 30, 40 different apartments for Teach for America kids, which are kids that with Ivy League and state educations that come and teach in our community, and other developers who are now peopleizing Brady.
Wow.
We've really turned that neighborhood around. And by taking the arts legacy that we have in our community and building basically an arts and music park that's programmed with an outdoor element, which all of Oklahomans, I mean, we have unbelievable change of seasons, but we have the ability to really leverage the outdoors and music together. It's just been an enormous hit. I mean, it's only been open since September of last year, and we at the foundation have just been floored by its success. And again, turning our way towards the river, that's an unutilized asset. And so we look to change the way we look at the river. You know, we're not plowing a new field. We're just looking at what assets are currently in the community and then leveraging those to turn those things around. And quite honestly, the public's investment with the BOK Center in downtown has been an enormous help. The ballpark being developed in that neighborhood has helped. Greenwood Cultural Center and the Greenwood community with the John Hope Franklin Park. You know, it's never any one asset, but it's the culmination of all of those that have really just been a dynamic for that area. And I think there's even more development and more opportunity ahead for them.
My guest today is Jeff Stavas. We talk about the final design plans for a gathering place for Tulsa, which was announced last night in a large crowd at the Tulsa Community College's Center for Creativity. You had to do two presentations because so many people came. But it's the development of the park area around 31st and Riverside. Now, we mentioned some of the amenities, but you're also going to have a lot of open space, too. You know, that's the beautiful thing about that mansion is that huge lawn. Now, a lot of that lawn is going to go, but there'll still be some great lawns. And why the importance of having these big meadow areas?
Meadow areas are really intriguing. We traveled over the last 5 years to numerous parks, super successful parks, parks that haven't been as successful. And one common thread that we saw is that you need to have places and experiences within your park that are varied. I mean, you're a different person than I am. Things that you like, I may not particularly like, but we all want outdoor space. We want green space. And so we had to have varied type of experiences so that everyone would have a place or that everyone will have a favorite place. You could come to the park once, but you could come another time and have a completely different experience. And so open green space is a place for people to be together if they want to be together. Then there's areas that are treed and more secluded that people that don't want to be with lots of people can be. So, you know, we really have to design, and that's one of the remarkable things about Michael Van Valkenburg. He understands all the different kinds of people and all the different kinds of needs when he builds a space, and I think that makes it especially special for us.
Now, you know, a lot of this area is already sort of designated as what it's going to be. But once it's open, there are going to be a lot of people who say, why can't we do this? Is the foundation going to be open to ideas of new ways of utilizing this space once it's open? Because that's a great thing about a park. You know, I mean, the great lawn for Central Park was just a great lawn for about 60 years. Then every once in a while they said, let's have a big concert on it or mm-hmm. something like that. Are you going to be, not necessarily a great big concert, but you know, are you going to be open to ideas that the public come to you for new ways of utilizing this space?
We're experiencing that with Guthrie Green now. We've had lots of people come to us with various ideas for programming. We're all different people, just as we were about how we would experience a space. Our programmatic needs and thoughts and desires are different, too.
Did you expect to have like a yoga, open yoga area out on the green like they have now?
Or Tai Chi. If you want to make it a space that's going to be used by everyone, you have to be adaptive. You know, you can't do the same thing over and over again. You have to be adaptive. You have to be expanded. You have to look broad. And you also want to tantalize people with experiences that they may not think of, that they'd be attracted to. So the foundation is we will be adaptive. We will listen. We want this to be a people's park.
Now, we haven't talked about phase two so much, but phase two, will it follow immediately after the first part? Is that the plan, or is it coming down the roads in a few years?
There's several things that have to happen for that part of the project to kick off. The area is kind of designated for kind of a cultural destination, mm-hmm. Possibly a museum of some sort. And in order for that to happen, there has to be the organization and the capital raised to make those types of commitments. And, you know, once those things are set in motion and we see that they're going to realize their goals, you know, then we'll be ready to maybe develop that aspect of the park. And we're also working very closely with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on the Crow Creek habitat, you know, ecosystems restoration, and that process takes some time. So, you know, those two things are kind of what's moving around that site, and the timeline could be anywhere as soon as 3 years, could be as long as 6 or 7 years. We don't really know exactly, but we've got enough of the ideas to do a design, and that's why we showed people what it could be. It could change. It could change in the way it's laid out. It could change in types of its function. But that's kind of where we are with that aspect.
And we should mention phase two is south of 31st Street, where Sundance Apartments are now.
That's correct.
Correct. And one of the other things I notice is, you know, if you use river parks and you walk to river parks or you bike to river parks, you always have this dreaded moment of crossing Riverside Drive. One of the things I notice about this park is there are ample walkways above 31st Street, connecting 31st Street as well. So people are not crossing busy streets. And I think that's a very smart, but it's expensive, you know, because bridges cost money.
It is. But, you know, in order, one of the things the designers have really pushed is thinking about connecting the neighborhoods, connecting the people in the middle of the city that want to ride their bike. You know, we have an enormous bike riding community. And we really have to be more mindful as a community about walking and bicycle traffic. We haven't been there like other cities have. And it's caused me really to think differently about it as well. And it's not just in this area. It's really all across the city. But bridges help. Bridges do help. And, you know, I do study like school crossing bridges. You know, there's one over around 51st and Harvard. And, you know, not all bridges work. And that's something I've kind of learned, too. And so, you know, but I think the way we've designed these and we've connected them between parks and gardens and different things, I think
very gentle rises, long rises. So
that's right. There's no stairs or steep ramps. Everything within the park, whether you're, you know, on any of the trails, have a 5% grade, they're all ADA accessible. So that in and of itself is pretty masterful architecture and landscape architecture to keep it at a 5% grade. But anyway, throughout the community, we need to be looking at ways to connect river parks with the community itself.
So when's groundbreaking? Next year?
So we anticipate groundbreaking as early as April 2014, and construction should begin just soon after that. And we'll be hopefully finishing up by the end of 2016 or early 2017.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to it. In the meantime, where do people see more information about the amenities and the park design?
So we have a website. It's called agatheringplaceforTulsa.com.
All right. Jeff Stava, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Rich.
Jeff Stava is a senior program officer for the George Kaiser Family Foundation and the project manager for A Gathering Place for Tulsa. The final design plans for the new park along Riverside Drive was released last night. You can learn more again at the website, agatheringplaceforTulsa.com. And in the interest of full disclosure, we should mention that KWGS does receive funding from the George Kaiser Family Foundation. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.